It's Saturday, the 2nd of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Andres Beerdrinch. Fantasy Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and TR3 Vins, which I think is TR Evans. And he's been a prolific sponsor of the podcast because I think this was the time when we were trying to get people to enter for the contest to win a jersey for the 500th review. And Mr. Evans submitted a stack of reviews. So if you were ever inclined to just go through and submit plenty and plenty of different iTunes reviews to help the show, feel free to be exactly like TR3 Vans and do that. It would be awesome. Of course, my name is Josh Lloyd, and if you are watching this podcast live and want to interact with the show, tweet at me at redrock_bball, and you can be a part of the show as it is going live to air. And of course, anytime you do want to leave a review, feel free. I never say no to a free iTunes review. So thank you to those guys who have done that so far this year. Of course, Moneyball has been with us all season. They're Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. So if you're wanting to play some DFS in Australia, check out Moneyball. NBA, AFL, NRL, A-League, Premier League, cricket, all sort of stuff happening. I'm not sure if they're doing baseball, but need to check into that. But Moneyball is the place to go if you live down here with me. All right, we have got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Warriors losing to the Celtics in a crazy game, really, which we'll talk about a little bit later. We've got monstrous lines of the night to do. We've got game reviews, game previews. So
let's get to it.
All right. Before we actually get to it, though, just a quick note for you guys who do use Basketball Monster. The box scores at the moment are frozen. They're not updating for the last couple of days. Trying to work out what's going on with that. That will be fixed probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, in all honesty. But at the moment, there's just a slight hitch in all the stats updating for the... Well, not all the stats, because seven of the games have updated. Just the remaining three games haven't completely updated. We'll get that fixed as soon as possible. Let's get into the monstrous line of the night. And that goes to Marcus Morris. Never thought I'd be saying his name as the monstrous line of the night, but this was a crazy game, Dallas and Detroit, with big lines coming from... weird sources. Morris had 31 points in his 40 minutes. He hit 6 triples. He had 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and went 12 of 17 from the field. He was 6 of 8 from 3, and that is honestly just a monster performance from Marcus Morris. He started off the season red hot, petered out, which we sort of expected, and wasn't good for a big stretch of a couple of months. But the last month, he's a top 60 player. The last 2 weeks, he is a top 25 player. He has turned it on since Toby Harris has arrived, and which I thought he might struggle for minutes. He'd still play 30 plus, but I thought he wasn't going to get 36 a game. He's dropped off maybe 1 or 2 minutes now, but the numbers are a lot better. He's a lot more efficient. The last month, he's at 51% from the field. He's at 44 over the course of the season. He's also in the last month shooting 54% from three, which is highly unrealistic. He's never topped 40% in the season before, but he's shooting it just so much better with Harris there. And it's working out well for the Pistons with that pairing of those guys at the three and the four. So Marcus Morris, great pickup at the start, not worth owning for about 2 or 3 months, but now absolutely should be owned in all leagues. And if he's not, make sure he's picked up in yours. But I imagine that he's owned in the majority of places. The waiver wire line of the night, we're going to head to Miami, and we're going to look at Gerald Green, who got the start with Dwayne Wade out, and it was just a night for players going off that we did not expect. Green played 33 minutes. He had 30 points. He hit 5 triples, went 11 of 19 from the field. He added 3 rebounds, had an assist, had 3 steals as well, and the Heat survived a furious Kings comeback in this one. Green started off ridiculously hot. I don't think he scored for the last 20 minutes of the game or something around that mark. But that's a huge, huge line. If for some reason you were able to add him in a seasonal league, or if you played him in DFS, you would have been pretty impressed with that sort of return from Gerald Green. Now, the Heat play again today, tomorrow, whatever day you listen to this, Saturday's games, they play again. Wade is very, very unlikely to play. So Green could get another start. Then the Heat ran only an 8-man rotation. Josh Richardson still played 28 minutes off the bench. He was not quite as effective. You would imagine that Green still gets pretty significant run. whether he starts or not, but it'd be hard to say, you know what, you've just come out and scored 30. Why don't you take a seat for the next game when the same players are going to be available? So if you're looking for threes, looking for some points, Green's going to be the guy, but he's not going to produce much in the other areas. The three steals here was nice, but that's not something that he's well known for. Rebounds and assists, you can pretty much forget about it. And he could go ice cold. That's a risk with Gerald Green, but the opportunity is definitely going to be there for him. The young gun of the night, we're going to head to New York, and it's amazing that we can go to New York and we can talk young guns of the night, because Kurt Rambis didn't decide to do anything. Phil Jackson didn't make him do anything, but it took the players to tell him, you know what, Kurt, maybe we should play some of these younger guys and get them some minutes and see if they can actually do anything for, you know, like the future of this team or the future of their careers. And Kurt, hey, I don't know what sort of convincing it took him. It might have taken a fair bit of convincing, because obviously he couldn't have the idea on his own. Langston Galloway is our young gun of the night. He only played 24 minutes, but he had a very, very successful night. 18, 6, and 7 off the bench. He hit 4 triples. He had a steal and a block, and that's beautiful. If he could get 30 minutes a night, I'd be all over adding him everywhere. Now, the guys who are in front of him are Aaron Aflalo and Sasha Vujicic, two players who are well below replacement-level players, in my opinion. He should be getting 28 minutes most nights. Do you go and look at Galloway as someone who's an ad? Maybe. Is this a sign of things to come? Now, the Knicks have one game this week, and it's Sunday. That's not that appealing, is it? Because you're probably going to have a full roster for Sunday with only, they've got, 10 or 11 games on Sunday? You're going to have basically everyone playing. So adding him for that situation is not great. But if your league continues on into next week, then we're going to see a great situation for Galloway, most likely. And he would be a valuable option, especially with Jose Calderon unlikely to see the court again this season, and with Kristaps Porzingis a chance not to play again this year as well. There's obviously guard minutes opening up there, and Galloway should be able to swallow up a big chunk of those. So a big night from him, and definitely someone to keep on your radar and for DFS purposes as well. The dud of the night. I never thought we'd get to a situation where Marvin Williams would be in consideration for the dud of the night because he was owned in enough leagues, but we are at that spot. He played 30... I never thought I'd get to that spot before this season, because he's been good this season, obviously. But he was disappointing here against the Sixers. 30 minutes, 7 points, 5 rebounds. He had a block on 3 of 9 and then 1 of 3 from the free throw line. He has been in somewhat of a slump lately, and it's obviously not the right time of the year for that. But over the last 2 weeks, he's ranked 217th, averaging just 9 points. He's still getting you a 3 a game. He's still getting you over a block a game, but the shooting is down to 38%. And his free throws are at 67%. And that was one of the big things with Marvin Williams this year, is his free throws were at 71 last year, and he's at 83 this year. It's a massive jump for a guy that's 29 years old to just all of a sudden become good. And it didn't make a huge amount of sense to me. Now, he's currently ranked 75th on the season, so he has had a drop-off. If you're in a 9-category league, he's much higher because he has a less than 1 turnover. He's at 0.8 turnovers on the season. But really, his numbers, 1.83 is nice, a block is nice, 6.6 rebounds, but he's not spectacular. I don't think that Marvin Williams, again, at this point of the season, he's not a must-hold player, but you might find that he is one of your best guys on Sunday. The problem is the Hornets play the Cavs. That's not a good matchup for power forwards. So would dropping Williams to get someone to play Saturday, that would most likely work out in your favor. So you have to consider that. But he has been in a tremendous slump. His shooting has dropped right off over these last couple of weeks. Let's have a look now at the perfect DFS lineup for Friday's games. At point guard, Kemba Walker was able to destroy the Sixers. No real surprise there. 46.2. And Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
He dropped 52.3 on the Cavs. Play the Bulls, you get big numbers. Point guard playing against the Cavs, Kyrie Irving does not care. He's just really bad defensively. He put up big numbers, but defensively he's bad. He doesn't look happy in Cleveland at all. You can see there's the seeds of disharmony coming out with the way that they look on the court and the way that they play. Yeah, they had big games, and in the end they get the victory on on an odd Jeff Teague sequence, ironically. But Irving and the Cavs, there's a real issue there. Really, really interesting offseason happening in Cleveland, as I'm sure you're aware. But Jeff Teague with a big game. At shooting guard, Chrissy Middleton bounced back after probably a lean month or so. 42 points for Chrissy, and Gerald Green went 41.1. Obviously, we've touched on him already. The small forwards, Marcus Morris, 57.4, and LeBron went 66.7. A huge game from James as well in that game. there's lots of big numbers to come out of that game. It was an overtime game, so that explains it somewhat. Paul Millsap went 50.9 against the Cavs, which is great considering how well the Cavs do defend power forwards. But Millsap is pretty good, but I wouldn't have been looking at him too strongly in this game. And we're going with another Morris. Markeith, in that revenge game against the Suns, he was able to do what I talked about yesterday and said, look, he's going to go one or two ways. He's going to be terrible or he's going to be brilliant. And he went the brilliant route and went 43.3 points and put up a really big performance for the Wizards. At center, Jonas Valanciunas was tremendous. He had 47.8 points, set some career highs, and you know that I'm a massive Valanciunas fan, and he is really, really coming on strong recently after that injury that sidelined him for that little bit of time in March. The total of that lineup was massive, 447.7 points. Not a completely unrealistic lineup to put out there. Maybe Marcus, but I talked Marcus Morris yesterday and had him as a pretty good option to play as well. So no, it's not a crazy lineup to put out there. Valanciunas probably the riskiest of those guys, and you would have had to be on top of things to know that Green was starting in place of Dwayne Wade. But otherwise, I think you could have reasonably worked out that lineup. Pretty sure no one had it. Let me know if you guys are playing on FanDuel, if anyone in the tournaments had that perfect lineup or what the highest score was, if you are watching along live. Because, of course, I can't access FanDuel because they banned me because it's where I live. Oh, well. Such is life. Now it's time for a word from today's sponsor, which is Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's for less than $20 a month. You get 6 to 8 items each month in a box. It includes licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. It gets delivered to your door. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific each month to subscribe, and then you receive that box. Because if you miss that, the box is over for that month, and it's never happening again, including some of those unique items, unless you want to pay exorbitant amounts of money on eBay to get that sort of stuff. So if something like Loot Crate appeals to you, which I reckon it should, because I'm sure plenty of the people who are watching along here or listening to this show are massive nerds, much like I am. And as you are all aware at this point, there's nothing wrong with being a nerd in 2016. It's embraced so many nerdish sort of things, or geeky or gamer things or whatever, are highly embraced in society. So if that's what you are, embrace your geekiness and look at Loot Crate, because you can get some pretty cool stuff there. Head to lootcrate.com/redrock. Use the coupon code REDROCK and save $3 on any new subscription. If you use that website, which is lootcrate.com/redrock, it tells Loot Crate that you came from here and that you listened to this podcast, and then they might consider sponsoring this podcast again and keeping the sponsorship going, which is great because it keeps these bright lights that are in my eyes from staying on, or that keeps it staying on, so we can continue to provide content and hopefully more content, better content, improving content. And the support that you guys show to these sponsors is key in that. So thank you to everyone who's done that so far. And it's not like you're getting something for nothing, not like you're doing something for no benefit, because you're going to get something cool out of it. So go and check out Loot Crate. This month's theme, which is going to be April, is Quest. Going to be exclusive items from things like Labyrinth, Harry Potter, the History Channel's Vikings, and Uncharted 4, plus more. Of course, you get t-shirts, you get your loot pin as well. Lots of stuff over on Loot Crate. So use that website, lootcrate.com/redrock. Don't use just the regular lootcrate.com, because that's not telling you where you came from. Join up. If it's something that, at least go and browse it. If you join up, you join up. If you don't, hey, but at least go and have a look, and I reckon you'll find something there that definitely interests you. Before we head into looking at these games in a bit more detail, Joe Weed gives me a comment on YouTube. The hardest working man in fantasy basketball. I'm not sure about that, Joe, but let's get to the question. Can you give me your thoughts on Norman Powell as a prospect in Dynasty? Joe, you must have been watching all of the shows, because I love Norman Powell in Dynasty. I think that he can be... I've been on Norman Powell since I went and saw him in Summer League, and... yeah, everything fits sort of nicely for him, because say DeMar DeRozan leaves, which he probably won't, but there's an opening at shooting guard, and I could easily see them going, you know what, Normie, you just slot in at shooting guard. He does not look out of place. He's playing big minutes. He's relegated Terrence Ross to a much smaller role. James Johnson's out of the rotation. Yes, when Damari Carroll comes back, that'll push Normie out into a bench role, But Carroll wasn't good when he was playing, and that's something that doesn't get spoken about a lot. Oh, the Raptors need Carroll back. They do, but he wasn't good to start the season. He's a better player than Powell, probably. I think Powell does have a higher ceiling than Carroll overall, and I do really like Normie's ability for Dynasty Leagues. I think at some point he's going to be pushing for a real big role on either on this team or another team. And Joe, I do think that it's a pretty wise investment if you can get him, but this is probably not the right time to do it because he's at the peak of his powers in terms of what he's doing in his rookie season. If your Dynasty League has trades at the end of the season, once the playoffs start and Carroll is back and he's back to a bench role, that's when you target him. I think doing it now when people are saying, "Wow, look at Norm Powell, you know, 30 minutes, big points, blocking shots, dunking, hitting threes, doing everything," you're probably going to have to pay a little bit of overs to get him. But if you wait until Carroll returns or you wait until he has a quiet game, that's when I'd be attacking him. But I do like Normie quite a lot. Right, a couple of tweets came in here answering my questions that I had. That's always good. Where are we? EOM at EOM Rules. A guy had 400 on DK in the 76,000 field. That's a pretty decent score. And Zubin. Serial question asker, Zubin Petreo. Do you think the Raptors have any chance in hell to beat the Spurs at home tomorrow to nix their undefeated home record? Yes, they do. They don't have a great chance. The Raptors haven't been playing brilliantly lately, but they've got a small chance. I don't imagine they're going to be favourites or they're going to have a fantastic shot at doing it, but they have a shot at doing it, which is more than I could say for a lot of other teams who'd be heading into that area. All right, let's bring up these box scores now and get them up. Now, remember, when we get into the box scores, a couple of the games, they aren't updated on there, so you won't be able to see them in as luxurious detail as what you've been seeing before. All right, let's get into these games. The first one of those is, where are we? The Philadelphia 76ers and the Charlotte Hornets. Big win for the Hornets. It wasn't that big. 9 points is pretty decent. The Sixers fought on nicely. Jeremy Grant made a surprise return. He was listed as out before the game and then played and started and played 20 minutes and was really good. 17 points for Grant. He hit a three, he had two rebounds, but added two steals and two blocks, and that's what he can do. In fact, he did it without hurting your percentages, which is a rarity. Now, the Sixers play again on Saturday. Is Grant someone you want to add? Just be aware that 50% and 75% from the field and from the line aren't going to be what he does on a regular basis. So you be prepared to cop a bit of a hit in percentages. But defensive stats, he's going to be one of those guys who can get you a Richie Beno on most nights. He almost had one here. He'll get some rebounds. But 17 points in 20 minutes is not something that's going to be a regular from him. Someone's going to have to lose some minutes when he gets back up. Now, Nerlens Noel won't play on Saturday. Rishaun Holmes won't play. But Elton Brand likely won't play 24 minutes either. 13 and 11 for Brand with a steal and a block. But what I do think is Kyle Landry keeps that 24-minute role. He went 16, 8 and 4. He had no triple one stats at all. But he's going to be a nice point source, a nice field goal percentage guy, and a nice rebounds guy moving forward. So he is on the radar as a spot start stream option, especially for Saturday and moving forward in deeper leagues as well. Hollis Thompson was great. 30 minutes, 17 points with 5 triples. He is a 3-point stream guy. While Bob Cove moved back to the bench, shot didn't fall, but still had 10 boards, had 2 threes and a block. And you know that I'm going to still recommend holding on to Bob Cove despite him going back to the bench. It shouldn't matter any that he is back on the bench. TJ McConnell dished 7 assists in his 21 minutes. That's about 4 straight games for McConnell with 20 minutes in playing time. So he becomes a steals and assists option. Well, Ish Smith was pretty poor. He was only 4 points on 2 of 9 shooting, had 7 rebounds and 5 assists. While Nick Stauskas was 3 of 11 for 11 points in his 29 minutes. Isaiah Cannon was also bad, 1 of 9 for 4 points. Did have 2 blocks and a steal, so that's a real bonus for Cannon owners. But Cannon still remains that great source of 3-pointers as a stream option. Cody Zeller likes playing the Sixers, apparently. Only 27 minutes for Zeller here, but 8 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block, hit both his free throws and went 3 of 5 from the field. That's tremendous numbers from Zeller. He is more of a 14-team league guy, but it should be clear to everyone that he has the starting center role now and that he's only going to be limited by injury or by fouls or by blowouts, but otherwise it's going to be 27 minutes for him on basically every night. And what I look forward to next year is I doubt that Al Jefferson is back with his team, so that should mean 30 minutes for Zeller, and that would make him a real fantasy asset. So in a dynasty format, I think that we see a real bump from Zeller from this year to next year. It's just obviously a very early prediction. Kemba, 27-11-4 with 4 triples and a steal. And Nick Batum went 19-4-7 with 2 threes in his 33 minutes. Actually, Jefferson was all right in this one as well. 13-7. He had a couple of blocks in 21 minutes, but that's the exception and not the norm. Jezza Lynn played 24 minutes with that sore back, 9-4-6. Really nice numbers as a great stream option. So he's worth it in that sort of sense, but obviously he's not a must-hold player. And Courtney Lee played 36 minutes despite Lynn's return. He went 4-5 with 2 steals. So he'd been coming off a nice little run of games where he'd been productive. Wasn't so much happening in this one. And he remains that fringe, probably 14-team league guy. Brooklyn and the Nets, the battle of the Lopezes. There was no Thad Young, he was resting. No Bojan Bogdanovic, he was resting. Sergei Karasev out of the rotation as well. So Tom Robinson got another start, played 27 minutes and went 14-13, had 3 assists and 5 steals. A huge game from Robinson. It's very confusing to me what the Nets are doing though, because Robinson literally had not played for the previous 3 games, and then they started resting, and then they'll start him and play him big minutes. Whereas the guy who was actually playing the backup minutes at power forward, who's a rookie, Chris McCullough, they're not giving him any extra responsibility. Now, that could be a medical thing based on his recovery from ACL surgery, but I would think that you'd want to be trying to ramp up McCullough's minutes and not necessarily Robinson. But still, if you knew which games that Thad Young is going to sit out or Brook Lopez is going to sit out, then Robinson's going to have value. But for now, he remains a sneaky stream option and a real DFS play when one of these guys sits out. Brookie Lopez, 16-8-4 with a block in 30 minutes. And Markel Brown he didn't bounce back, so he hadn't really been there. But that's a big game from Markel. 16-4, 2 steals and a 3 in 29 minutes. The ability to trust him should be very marginal, though. Sean Kilpatrick had probably his best game for the Nets. Took 20 shots, hit 7 of them. But that ended up with 17 points, had a 3, 4 rebounds and 2 assists and played 33 minutes. Now, him playing 33 minutes is definitely not the norm. And that happens here because Bogdanovic was out. So when Bogdanovic returns, he'll go back to that 21-22 minutes. He'll give you 12 points, and that's about all. Wayne Ellington started from being out of the rotation. He's back to getting 24 minutes a night, which I cannot stand. 8-4 for Ellington in 24 minutes. He's obviously not worth owning. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, 15 minutes, 1 point, 2 rebounds and 1 steal. I would have thought that if you did add him for this fabled 5-game week, you would have cut his ass already. I was advising against it because of the injuries, because of his ability to produce. He's played, 3 games? 2 games this week? I think he's played 2 games this week, and they haven't been good ones. He is not someone that you need to own. But by looking at these percentages, not many of you do, so that's good because he's owned in 4% of leagues. Shane Larkin's ownership percentage has jumped. It's at 20 now. Another 30 minutes for Larkin, only 5 points, but 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Keeps him in consideration, and he needs to be looked at in every single league that he's available in. Don Sloan, just 2 points in 14 minutes. And I can't believe it took them like 3 months to actually make this change and put Larkin in, when to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but to me, it was clear that Larkin was the better option for all of the season. Onto the Knicks, there's a lot of interesting things here. Now, Jose Calderon looks like he's going to be out a while, and with less than 2 weeks of the season left, I reckon you can pretty much count him out for the rest of that. Kristaps Porzingis, Ian Begley reported that the Knicks won't play him unless he's 100% with his sore shoulder. So there's a massive chance we don't see him again this year. So what does that do? We've spoken about Langston Galloway already. Jerian Grant got the start in place of Calderon, and he played 29 minutes. He went 14-3-4. He hit 2 threes and had a block. He's also young. He's a rookie, and it's great to see him out there. Not that Rambis really had anything to do with this, and he's still an absolute knob, but I'm liking Grant now. You've got to look at him in every league. Do I need a point guard? Do I need point guard stats? Now, of course, this week the Knicks don't, it's not a great situation for them. They play on Sunday against the Pacers, which is not a good matchup. So is he a guy that I'm adding this week? No, I'm looking at players who play Saturday first. But if my league continues on into next week, this is going to be a great opportunity for Grant to put up numbers. Mallow, we said his minutes were going to reduce. We didn't know where they'd go to. He went to 25. Now, I don't know if that'll continue every game. You can't drop Mallow, but it's a massive pain in the ass if you are owning him from you, a guy who was playing 40 minutes down to 25. He still had 13-6-4 with a 3 and a steal. I think he probably hovers around the 30-minute mark now, but this is an interesting development. Derek Williams started in place of... 16 points, including 4 triples. Not much else, but he will be definitely worth a look with Kristaps out. And the two other guys who I am massive fans of, perhaps not with any great reason, Kylo Quinn and Kevin Seraphin looked good as well. Seraphin 12-7 in 22 minutes. And Quinn went 9-5 with a block in his 19 minutes. They're all going to come into play in slightly deeper leagues, 14 or 16 team leagues, but it's going to take one of them to really grab 30 minutes to be a useful 12 team league guy. Also great to see Cleanthony Early play 23 minutes. He has been starved of opportunities in his first two seasons, knee injuries, shootings. He's back 7-6 with 3 assists in 23 minutes. Going to be real interesting to see what he does down the stretch. And Saša Vujačić played 17 minutes and Aaron Aflalo got 26. Obviously, it shouldn't bear saying, but Aaron Aflalo needs to be dropped if you're owning him. The Dallas Mavericks and the Detroit Pistons. JJ Barea. This was just a weird game. Barea had 29 points on 13 of 23 shooting. Two threes, three rebounds, and three assists. Darren Williams, we don't know when he's going to be back at this point. He's dealing with a sports hernia, which is not a great situation. Ryan Anderson's dealing with that same injury, so we don't know when Williams is going to be back. Ray Felton was also out of this one with a groin strain, so Barea got a stack of minutes, and Devin Harris got the rest of those too. But even if Felton was playing, and to be honest, even if Williams was playing, Barea is still going to get 25 minutes or so, and he's still going to be productive in that time. He should be owned in pretty much all leagues. Wes Matthews played a truckload of minutes, 43. 17-6 with four triples. He's been a lot better since Chandler Parsons went down. And Dirk bounced back after a couple of subpar games, 19-5 with a three and a steal. If you have any insight, any inkling into what Rick Carlisle is going to do with his big men, just send me a tweet because I don't know. Yeah, Salamezri would start. Oh, big double-double. 4 minutes. 2 minutes, 0 minutes. Because we're going to replace him with Dwight Powell. We're going to see what Powell can do. Yeah, Powell, big double-double. Big game, 28 minutes. 10 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 seconds. I don't understand. Powell came in literally to foul for 2 seconds and then went back onto the bench. That was it. Measury played 24 minutes again here. 6-7 with two blocks. Hit all three of his shots. One thing we know is that David Lee's not going to be worth anything. He was 4-5 in his 12 minutes with two blocks. But Measury and Powell, you're throwing darts at a board and you're hoping one sticks. Next game, it could easily be Powell playing 25 minutes. It could be Zaza Pachulia playing 28 minutes. It could be Salamezri playing 28 minutes. Zero reliability for DFS, zero reliability for standard leagues. Devin Harris, 28 minutes, 13, 2, and 3. He got that extra bit of run there with Felton and Darren Williams being out. And Justin Anderson played 33 minutes, which I really enjoyed. I didn't really enjoy his production. He was 4-7 in 33 minutes with a block, but still he's out there, so he is in consideration, but he's far from a must-own guy. The next game. Where are we? Not the next game, the same game. The Detroit Pistons. Reggie Jackson, one of his better games, 11-5-10 with two steals and a three, but the shooting not ideal. 3-15 from the field. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope dropped 15 in 45 minutes, while Toby Harris went 14-5 with a couple of blocks. As usual, it's all their starters producing the value. Andre Drummond was hacked. He went 2-10 from the line, but he still played 35 minutes and went 12-17. So still really, he sort of did what you needed. You don't like the fact that he went 5-15 from the field. That's not an ideal field goal percentage, but the big rebounding numbers were decent. Steve Blake chimed in 6 assists in his 16 minutes. The Cavs and the Hawks, LeBron was big. He had 29, 16, and 9. He hit a 3. He had 3 steals. He had a block. Exactly what you need from LeBron at this point of the year. I'll tell you what you don't need. Kyrie Irving going 5-23 from the field. But Irving's other numbers were great. A 20, a 6, a 7. Yeah, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. A Richie Beno. Must come from his time living in Australia. He had 2 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, and 8 of 10 from the free throw line. So overall, really good production, but the field goal percentage, not ideal from Kyrie. And Kevin Love was productive as well. Not Minnesota productive, but Cleveland Kevin Love productive. 15-6-4 with 3 triples. J.R. Smith played 39 minutes and hit 4 triples, but doesn't do much else. He is not a 12-team league guy, despite 72% of people owning him. And Tim Mozgov, 12 minutes for him, 2-5. Just such a rapid fall for Mozzie. Tristan Thompson played 34 minutes, and that's not reliable, though. 9-14, 2 blocks, and hit all 4 of his shots. Unfortunately, he went 1-6 from the free throw line. But his ability to get you rebounds and a high field goal percentage should be valued and should be looked at if you need those stats for Sunday. Onto the Hawks. Jeff Teague just brutalized the end of the game, but production-wise, brilliant. 38 minutes, 28-4-9, and he also had a Richie Beno, a double-triple-one, so to speak. 9 of 23 from the field, and really big numbers. And this was what will happen. This is the problem with Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder played 14 minutes and had 6, 2, and 1. Teague is going to get the lion's share of the minutes most nights, and that's a big performance from him. Paul Millsap, 29 and 12, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block, while Al Horford went 14, 9, and 3 with a block. Now, you know that I don't like Kent Bazemore as a player. I don't think he's any good. I think that he's extraordinarily overrated, but he was fantastic in this game. He got destroyed with LeBron trying to take a charge, fell on his back, head, neck, and it looked real scary. Copped another one in the knee later on in the game, gutted through it all, played 38 minutes, had 7, 12, and 6, had a 3 and 3 blocks. You know, my hat goes off to Kent Bazemore because that is a gutsy performance. It is really productive. Odd that they ran him out there so long when your other options, you could have put Thabo out there, you could have put Tim Hardaway out there who wasn't great, and Bazemore's a terrible option for guarding LeBron. But still, he did some things, and he gutted out and he played. So that's a bit of respect for him in that sort of situation. Still don't think that he's a great ad, but he's not a terrible one. Kyle Korver hit 4 triples for 14 points, and he played 41 minutes, but he's not going to be a must-hold-on-to guy, while Thabo only played the 15 minutes, and Timmy Hardaway had 2 points in his 13 minutes on the court. The Raptors and the Memphis Grizzlies. Jonas Valanciunas, huge game from Valanciunas, 11 and 14 in 36 minutes, but the 3 steals and 7 blocks is massive. He was 9 of 10 from the free throw line. He went only 1 of 5 from the field, which is odd for him, but that is a huge line. He was very, very close to being the monstrous line of the night, especially with that 10 combined steals and blocks, which is not an area that he is well known for, but he's doing it in a lot more this year, and it's great to see him do it, being able to do these things in a much bigger role or much bigger amount than what he was doing previously. His last 6 games, he's averaging 2.7 blocks. His last month of action, he's at 1.8, which is well up on last year. His blocks are up on last year. His steals are up on last year in the same amount of minutes. He needs 30 minutes. But what I like is the last 2 weeks is Casey's playing him 28 and a half minutes. Yeah, that's getting up there. He is so far superior to Bismack Biyombo, in my opinion. I know some people will disagree, but I think that Valanciunas is so far superior to Biyombo, and it's really good to see him firing here. DeMar DeRozan, 27-6-4, hit a 3 and went 10 of 11 from the free throw line, so a big bump there, while Kyle Lowry had 22-3-2 and hit 4 triples and at least didn't shoot in the 20s from the field goal for his field goal percentage. Jason Thompson started with Luis Scola resting again, 6-6 in 22 minutes for Thompson, while Normie Power played 31 minutes, 14-4-5, 2 threes, 2 steals, 1 block. 31 minutes. It's, Corey Joseph played 23. Terrence Ross played 18. James Johnson out of the rotation. Powell is causing this because he's playing so well. He's a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks. He's a top 40 player over the last week. And in that last 2 weeks, it's only in 27 minutes a game. He's hitting 2 threes a game. And yes, he's doing it at 48%, but it's not like he's doing it at 65%. He's getting 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks, 4 rebounds. He's getting assists. He's doing a lot at the moment. And you could do worse than adding Normie Powell. In a 14-team league, he should be owned easily. In a 12-team league, it really depends on your team and who you're dropping. But I imagine he has a pretty solid role until Carroll returns, as I mentioned earlier. But really loving what I'm seeing from Normie. The problem with me loving guys like Norman Powell and Josh Richardson is that no one wants to trade them to me. Because in leagues that I'm in dynasty leagues, and I talk them up all the time, I have to pay through the nose to try and get them. Still waiting for Greg to respond to me when I in our Red Rock Dynasty League, because he owns Normie. And I think I tried to get Normie off him the very day after the draft, and he was not interested. So thank you, Greg. Memphis, they push real hard. They didn't play anyone over 30 minutes. It's real tough to get a read on this fantasy-wise. Jermichael Green, in his 28 minutes, went 10-7 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's had a lot of these games this year where he's got these big defensive numbers. He's had a few games where he's stunk as well. Is he someone to own? He's someone to stream in as a desperation. Tony Allen only played 22 minutes, and that's more the norm for him now. But still, 3 steals, 10 and 5 with a block. He's a great steal stream. Jordan Farmer continues to be the starting point guard. 26 minutes for Farmer, 12-2-2, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. I'm all for adding. There's quite a few new point guards that can be added at this time of year. Farmer, Jerian Grant is another one that you are going to be floating around on waiver wires that you can go and add and get some value out of. Lance Stephenson, 29 minutes, 12, 3, and 4. He's just... He shouldn't be... I don't think he should be owned. Not in my opinion, anyway. In deeper formats, yeah, but he's just really struggling at the moment. Matt Barnes also not playing the best. 27 minutes for Barnes, 2 points on 7 shots. Well, Xavier Munford had probably his best game in the NBA, shooting 5 of 7 for 12 points in 22 minutes, but he's not someone that I'm overly keen on adding. Zebo took 18 shots. He hit just 6 of them. 16, 4, and 3 is a pretty nice return, so I'm not overly worried about Zebo. The guys I'd consider dropping, obviously, Atlanta, Matt Barnes, and Tony Allen, and it all depends on what you're going to need for these other guys, like Green, Farmer, and even guys like Stevenson can be streamed in under certain circumstances. The Orlando Magic and the Milwaukee Bucks... Big win for the Bucks in the scheme of things. Doesn't really mean anything, but good for them to get a victory. Vic Oladipo, almost the 5x5. 38 minutes for Vic. 18, 3, and 5. 5 steals and 4 blocks and 2 triples. He was massive as well. And it just goes back to show just how ridiculous it was that he was being completely neutered at the start of the season by Scott Skiles. I'm so glad that they are not winning this season, or that they are not getting into the playoffs for that reason alone, because some of the decisions he made, and I know you can point and go, maybe him benching him made him play like this. Well, I don't think so, because he played like this down the stretch last year as well, and he was just neutered completely by Skiles. Nick Vucevic was back. He still played off the bench, but it hasn't really mattered. 22 minutes for Vucevic, 22-4, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks, doing everything at the moment. He will likely ramp that up to 30 minutes in the next time out, so get him active. Lord Alfred Payton, 6-6-10. That's exactly what he'll do for you. Well, Aaron Gordon had one of his better nights, probably 14-7-2 with a steal and a 3. Far from a must-own. Well, Evan Fournier, 14-3-2 as well. Dwayne Dedmon started, went 4-4 in his 11 minutes and sat his ass down for the rest of the night. Jason Smith got some minutes there as well, but obviously Vucevic back limits both of those guys' ability. Mario Hezonja, 21 minutes, 11 points with 3 triples. Well, Brandon Jennings went scoreless, but did add 3 steals and 7 assists. So some nice numbers, but if you're streaming Jennings in, it's getting to desperation stakes. At this point of the year, though, Andrew Nicholson you have to look at as a point streamer. 16 minutes here, 13 points with 4 rebounds, a steal and a block, and highly efficient. Ersan Ilyasova did not play at all, and we think that he's healthy enough to play. He's just out of the rotation. So Nicholson is getting minutes. And Skiles has shown that when he gets hot, he does love him, and he will play him 20 or so minutes most nights. And you can get 15, 16 points at a pretty high field goal percentage from Nicholson. So not someone to completely disregard. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 39 minutes, another triple-double, 18, 11, and 11. And when he puts up triple-doubles, he doesn't just put up these pissy 10-10-10s. He went 18, 11, and 11, had 2 steals and 3 blocks. Percentages are a concern, 5 of 13 and 8 of 11 from the free throw line, but still some very, very sexy counting stats. Chris Middleton was pretty sexy as well, 18, 5 and 4 with 5 steals, 2 threes and 2 blocks. And Jabari Parker went 26, 7 and 5. That's the future of this team. Big lines from all of them. I think they're going to be pretty good. Greg Monroe's coming on at the moment. 31 minutes for Monroe, 18, 6 and 3 with 2 steals and a block. Now, he might not be playing the best on-court style, but he's producing fantasy stats at the moment, which is what his owners want. Probably helps that John Henson had 5 fouls in 11 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists, so that limited him. And Miles Plumlee dropped 12 points in his 17 minutes. With Jared Bayless out, Rashad Vaughn did get the start. He played 22 minutes and didn't do much, 4-3-1. He was someone to monitor. I imagine they'll keep giving Tyler Ennis some more run here, and he played 26 minutes here. Ennis went 15-2-1, 2 steals with 2 threes for Ennis. Now, Vaughn has struggled for a lot of the season. He does have an opportunity here, but he needs to pull his finger out to really be considered a 12-team league guy. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz. Rick Rubio, not a big scorer, not just 6 points, but 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, and a 3 is fantastic from Rick. There was Gorgui Dieng playing 11 minutes, 4 points, 2 steals. I'm not a big Sam Mitchell fan, but I can understand this one. Dieng copped really a couple of quick early fouls. Nemanja Bjelica came in and he played well. And Mitchell went, okay, we'll just keep Bjelica out there. At least it wasn't the case of we're going to run trash like Tayshaun Prince out there. Let's give Bjelica an opportunity. Dieng getting into early foul trouble. Now, Bjelica was great, 15-8 with 3 triples and 2 assists. I don't buy it, and I'm not looking to add him, and I'm not looking to drop Dieng after this, but it's understandable. Zach LaVine played 40 minutes and was terrible. 3 points, 1 3, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal on 1 of 9 shooting. He's had a real, real tough week at the moment, and he's probably costing some people their fantasy leagues, to be honest. I dropped him, and I think you can do the same if you're looking to just get stats in to win those categories. Karl Anthony Towns, 17 and 11, a 3 and a block. It just feels standard for him at the moment, and it's pretty amazing that sort of a line is a standard performance. Well, Andrew Wiggins went back to the Wigo of the start of the season. 24 points, he hit 2 threes, but 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. Just not much production in the other areas, but still a pretty nice night from Wigo. Onto the Jazz, no Derek Favors. So Trey Lyles started, and he was fantastic. I told you to look out for Trey Lyles yesterday. 35 minutes, 18 and 5 with 2 threes, a steal, and a block. This kid is going to be a very good NBA player. He's got a tremendous future. Where that lies, I don't know, because Favors and Gobert are ahead of him. But in these cases where Favors is out, he's going to go big, and he went massive here. If Favors happens to be out again, obviously Lyles remains a great DFS option and a really nice seasonal out as well. Rod Hood is sort of back in form now. 7 of 10 for 17 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals for Rod. And he went through a real cold streak, but putting up some nice numbers again now. Shelvin Mack, unexplainable to me. 16, 4, and 5 with 2 threes in 33 minutes, putting up some real, real good numbers. And Gordy Hayward went 22, 5, and 3 also. Gobert also coming along at this point in the season. 10 and 14, 3 blocks, and 100% from the field. But the free throw issue is still there. 2 of 6 from the line, and that's not going to change. So you would have had to have switched basically into a punt free throw build with Gobert majority of the time this season. So that shouldn't be anything new to you at this point. Now, this is where the problem lies with the updating of our live data, because the box scores haven't updated for the next few games. So I'm going to have to just go through them from a different source and go from there. Which game are we looking at? Miami and Sacramento. Let's get into that game now. For the Heat, talked about Gerald Green already. Goran Dragic was decent. He had 18 points. He had 7 assists. No steals, couple of rebounds. Yeah, just a solid night from him. Luol Deng was solid as well. 17, 3, and 4. Nothing too spectacular with those guys. Well, Joey Johnson went 14, 5, and 8. So the 8 assists and 2 steals. Probably one of his best nights in recent times, but he's not a must-hold player. Although, if he is available for Saturday, because there's so few teams playing, Johnson's a fine guy to look at. Justice Winslow off the bench had 12 and 5. He's not really a fantasy contributor. Well, Joshy Richardson's shot did not fall again. 3 of 8 for just 7 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. You're holding him, obviously, for Saturday, but if your season's stretching into next week, you want to have a look how everything matches up. He's not necessarily a must-hold guy at this point. Hassan Whiteside only took 4 shots. He had 6 points, 13 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Getting it done in those other areas, you just would have enjoyed him being able to take some more shots and put up numbers that way. Dwayne Wade said it is unlikely to play Saturday. For the Kings, DeMarcus Cousins will not play in any more road games this season. So that's the final 2 games of the season, plus Saturday's action. Omri Caspi is likely done for the year as well with a hamstring strain. So the Kings are obviously whittling down their numbers. They started a lineup of Seth Curry, Quincy Acey, Willie Cauley-Stein to go along with Rajon Rondo and Rudy Gay. And I've been talking about Rudy Gay for a while, saying that a big game sort of has to come soon. It did in this one. He played 40 minutes, had 20 and 13 with 2 steals and an assist. Hadn't seen it for a while from him, but here it was. Quincy Acey, only 14 minutes, continues to be a placeholder starter. For what reason that teams continually use this, I have no idea. Willie Cauley-Stein started. Don't know why they didn't run with Kufos, who's shown that every time that Cousins is out that he will put up numbers. Surely they just have to run Cauley-Stein and Kufos, but George Karl knows not what he does. Cauley-Stein, 22 minutes, left with a shoulder injury and did not return as well, so that's a bit of a concern if you're planning on using him Saturday. We don't know if he will play or not, but there's a chance that he doesn't. Cauley-Stein, 4 and 4 with 2 blocks, while Kufos off the bench went 12 and 9 with 2 blocks as well. Kufos is the guy that I want when Cousins is out. Cauley-Stein in general, but when Cousins is out, I want Kufos. So you've got to weigh that up. So for Saturday, when there's a chance that, well, we know that Cousins is going to be out, and there's a chance that Cauley-Stein is not out, Kufos is an awesome play. Darren Collison looked good off the bench, 26 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, while Rajon Rondo went 5, 5, and 10 with a steal on 1 of 7 shooting. Also great to see James Anderson playing 19 minutes. Not And Seth Curry played 32. He had 21 points, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 rebounds. George Karl came out and clarified his comments the other day that DeMarcus Cousins was so unhappy about. Not sure how honest Karl is being with it, but he did come out and say, I think it's going to take him 2 or 3 years to find himself in the league, and then he can be a 10-year player. Whatever, George. Curry should continue to start for most of the season, especially now with Caspi up, and you have to look at him. If you want points, if you want some assists, if you want some pretty decent free throw shooting and some threes, Curry can do that. He's more of a deeper league guy for sure, but not out of place on a 12-team roster at this crazy point in the season. Let's get on to the next game, which is the Washington Wizards and the Phoenix Suns. We'll start with the Wizards. Markieff, 21-9. 1 assist, 1 steal, and 4 blocks. I've been talking Markieff Morris for quite a while about how I think that he should be owned, and despite his limited minutes, he's been putting up pretty decent numbers. Well, he got 34 here, and he destroyed. So you've got to look at owning Markieff Morris if it fits into what you do. But again, remember, the Wizards don't play until Sunday, so it might not be worth it. Always take that into consideration. Otto Porter, 11-7. Decent from him. And Marcin Gortat against his former team went 11-11 with 2 blocks. And whenever I see Marcin Gortat less than 30, it just makes me angry. 29 minutes for him here. Johnny Wall, 22, 8-10 with 2 steals. Pretty decent production there, while Brad Beal had 21 with 5 assists. And it's always set up when you're a shooting guard and you're taking on the Suns. It's set up for big minutes or big numbers. The bench, not a lot to love there. Nene did grab 7 boards and have a block in his 17 minutes, but really not much else all that exciting on that bench. For the Suns, I was talking about Alex Len. Yes, his shot looked like it was back. He was scoring well. Everything was working out, but not so much. 24 minutes here for 4 points on 1 of 10 shooting. He had 8 boards. He's as volatile as what he was before. Still, running him and Chandler just makes zero sense. Tyson Chandler did play 39 minutes, though, in the development for the future. 11-15 in his 39 minutes for Chandler with a block. He's still going to be a nice rebound source. That's really about it. And PJ Tucker, apparently the offensive leader on this team now. 18 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. He should be owned in the majority of formats. Brandon Knight is dealing with a sports hernia. He's already had a groin issue, which kept him out a long time. There is a chance we don't see Knight again. So Ron Price will assume the starting point guard role. He was 1 of 8 from the field for 5 points, but he added 8 assists. He had a steal, and he's going to be an assists and a steal source down the stretch here, because I imagine that we're not going to see Knight for most of the rest of the year. That's yet to be confirmed, obviously. Devin Booker, 14 points, 4 rebounds, a 6 of 22 night, probably more harmful night than helpful night from Booker, and that will happen. Mirza Teletovic was back. He played 32 minutes and went 24-12. A big night from him. Hit a couple of threes as well. But really, to get 24-12 out of him, it's a stretch. You're not going to expect that all that often, so don't get overly pumped to think that that's going to be happening very often, while Archie Goodwin dropped 8 points in his 13 minutes. The last game of the night was the Boston Celtics breaking the Warriors' home winning streak. A very interesting game to watch. A crazy end. The Warriors came back pretty hard on the Celtics at the end. Some interesting screens being set by Warriors. Harrison Barnes taking the last shot when Steph Curry was basically standing next to him wide open. I can't believe Curry missed that three, the first one that Barnes then got the rebound on. He was wide open. He had so much time to settle. I can't believe he missed that. Barnes clearly should have given it back to Curry for that second shot, but it is what it is. The Warriors now will be in a bit of a struggle, I think, to break that Bulls record. Let's get into the Celtics stuff here. Amir Johnson started, played 26 minutes, went 7-9. It's not reliable. I'd much rather have Jared Sullinger, despite his minutes fluctuations as well. 20-12 for Sullinger in 27 minutes, had a steal, and he was fantastic in this game. Avery Bradley defensively was awesome. 15-3-4 with 2 steals and a block. That's a really nice overall line as well. And Isaiah Thomas had 22 points with 6 assists. Or Evan Turner with Jay Crowder. And Jay Crowder was really weird. Now he's going to play, he's going to play, he's going to play. Oh, no, he's not. But it was pretty weird. Anyway, Crowder was out. Turner played 37 minutes, went 21-5-5, had 3 steals. I think you still, regardless of Crowder's status, I think you still got to hold on to Turner if you're playing again next week. But as with anyone at this point, if he's not going to be in your best 10 on Sunday, he's expendable for someone that plays Saturday. Jonas Jerebko chimed in 9 off the bench in 20 minutes. Kelly Olynyk had 7-2-2 in his 17, while Marcus Smart had 7-4-6. And none of those guys are real standard league viable players. With Crowder out, Terry Rozier got back into the play. 1 point and 5 rebounds in his 17 minutes. On to the Warriors. Draymond, another huge line from Green. 16, 9 and 7, 6 steals and 2 blocks. Just continually puts up big numbers. But the guy who's impressing me at the moment, it might sound weird coming from me, is Harry Barnes. 14, 8 and 4. He had a steal. Yeah, not great on that last play with a 3. But in terms of fantasy numbers, it's getting back there for Barnes. I mean, he's not a must-own player. I would say he's far from that. But he's at a stage where he's becoming an interesting target. Not a great one, but someone that you can consider. In a 14-team league, yeah, absolutely. I think you should be all for it. You should be looking at what he can do. He's averaging, over his last week, 13 and 7 and 7.5. He hit 4 triples today, which is not something that he's been doing, but he can be a 1-3 a game guy. His percentages are solid. He's more of a roto guy, but he can have some head-to-head value. So as bad as he's been, he's looking a bit better now. Steph had 29, 5, and 6, while Clay had just 15 points. He was hounded by Avery Bradley most of the night. The bench, as per usual with the Warriors, not much really happening with those guys. Andy Bogut only lasted 18 minutes, dealt with a rib issue, did not return. X-rays are negative. Bogut's not much of a fantasy factor anyway, but if Bogut was to miss, you'd think they have to play Green at center a little bit more, and that means Barnes more at the 4, which actually helps him from a fantasy point of view. Like we saw here, stretch 4, getting more rebounds. It helps him in that sort of point of view. So interesting to see if Bogut does happen to miss any time at all. All right, that is it for the games from Friday. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk DFS for Saturday. At the games from Saturday, there are 5 of them in total, and to be honest, it's not, I don't love the DFS slate for Saturday. It's a day where I'm a little bit, yeah, not hedging my bets, but it's risky, I think, and this time of year especially, with less than 2 weeks to go in the NBA season, there's going to be a lot of randomness happening, and it's not a great idea to be putting the same amount into DFS than what you would have been back in December or January. It's just it's a very random time of the year. The first game is Indiana and Philadelphia. The Pacers are favored by 11. The total is 203.5. Nerlens Noel will be out of this one. Rishon Holmes as well. Rod Stuckey is questionable with a wrist strain, but he's not impacting a huge amount. Let's look at the point guards. Georgie Hill is now under 5,000. He's at 4,900. Now, he's been really bad. He's averaging 18 points over the last 5 games. But when you're playing against the Sixers, his last 3 against the Sixers have yielded 25 points. I think that he's a chance here. He's not trustworthy, but he is a tournament option. TJ McConnell is at minimum salary. He continually gives you like 16, 17 points a night, which at minimum salary is okay. There are probably going to be better options out there and better matchups. But just remember, if you want a guy who can get you 20 points and not cost you anything, he's a guy. Ish Smith at 6,800, not a good matchup. His production has been great up until the last game, but not someone I'm all that interested in here. Isaiah Cannon, no. Ty Lawson, probably not either. not probably not, definitely not. Shooting guards. Monte is at 6,400. That salary has dropped by 300, and that's making him more interesting, but still not fantastic. I think he is a good tournament option because of the team that he is playing and his ability to go for 35 or 40 points here, but I have zero trust in him in cash whatsoever. Nick Stauskas is a punt option, but even then, he's not an appealing one. Solomon Hill, Joe Young, and Rod Stuckey aren't really worth looking at. Paulie George has been playing well. He's averaging 46 points across his last three. He stunk in the last time he played the Sixers, and he's up to 9,200, but that still doesn't totally dissuade me from using him. I think he's probably more GPP than cash, but with only five games around, you can use him in cash and have a little bit of confidence in him. But just remember, the last time he played the Sixers, terrible. Hollis Thompson's up to 4,600, which just makes him too expensive for me, while Bob Cove at 6,500 is also too expensive, especially when you're playing against the Pacers, who are quite good defensively. Let's look at the power forwards. Miles Turner, he gets another good matchup, but he's been just brutal lately. He's at 5,400. The salary's dropped by $100. He hasn't been able to get minutes because he's been playing so poorly and accumulating fouls, but he is worth a tournament option because he can go massive, obviously. Carl Landry at 4,800. I like Landry. I think that he's almost a lock for 25 points on almost all nights. Yes, it's a tough one against the Sixers, but I think that he's going to get 24 minutes and should be able to put up 25 points. He's, in his last five games, he's getting 41 FanDuel points per 36 minutes, so he's well over a point per game. He's someone to look at. Jeremy Grant, the minutes restrictions are a concern, as is the matchup. Well, I don't imagine Elton Brand's going to drop another 30, which would be great at 3,700. I just don't imagine that happening. With centers, Jan Mahinmi in a pretty good situation here, taking on the Sixers. 5,200 for Jan. He's averaging 28 in the last five, 30 in the last three. Nice matchup, solid role. Absolutely fine with using Jan Mahinmi. Jordan Hill, probably not. The Pistons and the Bulls. We've got no spread released for this one yet. Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson are both considered doubtful to play. Cam Bairstow is probable, but he also probably won't get on the court. Let's look at the point guard. So Aaron Brooks is at 3,500. I think he's worth a punt, and I've got him listed as a nice cheap point guard option because there just aren't many other options, but I have zero trust in him in cash. Now, in the last five, he's had a 30-point game in 23 minutes. He's also had a 9-point game in 18 minutes. He's very up and down, but he could go off, and I think he's definitely worth using. Reg Jackson at 5,900. Not only did he have a nice game against the Mavericks, but now he takes on the Bulls, who he'll be guarding Aaron Brooks. Like, I think that Reggie Jackson can put up a pretty impressive night here. Shooting guards. Jimmy Butler. It's a tough matchup against Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, but he's down at 7,800. There aren't many expensive shooting guards on the board. He has to be considered depending on which other cheap options you've gone for. If you've gone for an Aaron Brooks as your point guard, if you've gone for another cheap guy in another position, then you might have $8,000 sitting around. Now, I put Jim Butler in. It's not a great matchup, but he did have 43 in the last game. His last three against this team have yielded 45 on average. I think he's worth looking at. Caldwell Pope at 5,600, he gets the nice matchup here as well. He wasn't awesome against Dallas. I think that he bounces back and he can be a 30-point performer. Etwan Moore is also in play at 3,900. He's going to handle the point guard minutes along with Brooks. He'll play some backup too also. He last time he played 30 minutes, he dropped 30 points, and that's sort of where you should be hoping that he gets to at 3,900, at least 25. It should be in play for Moore. Justin Holiday will also get a bit of a bump with Rose out, but I don't imagine that's going to be enough to impact the DFS lines. Small forwards. Nikola Mirotic is at 5,300. He is on fire. He's averaging over 30 the last three, but we know the risk that comes with Fred Hoiberg and Nikola Mirotic. Do you run out Mirotic? I think that you almost definitely have to in a tournament, and I would also consider him in cash. There is a risk that he falls completely on his face, but with Taj out, with Bobby Portis being terrible, with Mike Dunleavy struggling, with no Derrick Rose, someone has to score, and Mirotic could be and really should be that guy. And look, it is tough. It's tough to rely upon him, but we've seen the last three out of the last four games, I think it's been, where he's put up just crazy numbers, and the salary is not exorbitant. 5,300, yes, it's risen by 300, but it hasn't been. It's not terribly out of control. It's pretty reasonable, I would say. So I do think you have to consider Mirotic as a guy that not a must own, but a definitely a must consider. If we have a look what Mirotić does when Rose and Gibson don't play, he has a usage of 23.3. His true shooting's at 58. I'm going to look at what his fantasy points per minute are. He's at one fantasy point per minute basically when Rose and Gibson are off the court. So they're both unlikely to be playing here. I think that he should get 30 minutes and he should get 30 points. And at 5,300, it's really hard to go past him. Marcus Morris at 5,700. Was brilliant today, obviously had dropping 57. He's averaging 35 across his last five. You're pairing Mirotić and Morris together, feels great. Morris feels safer as well, considering how good the matchup is. So if you're a little weary about Mirotić, which you should be, then plugging Morris in is absolutely fine. It's only 400 extra, and I think using them as a pairing at small forward can enable you to go. You could go big at shooting guard and put DeRozan and Butler there and get 40 out of each of those guys. And potentially get 35 out of each of Morris and Mirotić at small forward. Power forwards, no Taj. Toby Harris is at 6,300. He just feels a consistent guy that is probably going to get you 30 on most nights. Now, it's obviously not going to, but when you play the Bulls, the odds of probability go in your favor. So Toby Harris, he should be a guy who can approach 40 points, and he should be a 35er sort of guy here. Bob Portis, he started, he did nothing. He had 4 points in his start in the last game. That's not that great. The last the last couple of times he's played the Pistons, he's averaging 2 points. He's not really on our radar. The centers, Pau Gasol is, though, to me. He's at 8,300. That salary keeps dropping. He's been good, but not spectacular. But you feel like the big Pau Gasol game should be just around the corner. The Pistons give up a few numbers to opposition centers. I think Pau is definitely in play here. Drummond at 8,100, he also has to be in play when you play the Bulls. The last three times he's played Chicago, he's averaging 52 points. His lowest score in his last five has been 34. I think that either of those guys are probably two of your best center options on the board. The next game, the Toronto Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs. Not great fantasy matchups here for these guys because both of them are really good at restricting points from opposition. The point guard situation, I'm not loving any of these guys. Kyle Lowry at 8,200 has been averaging under 30. It's not a good spot for him. Yes, it might work, but odds are it won't. Tone Parker, Patty Mills, Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph revenge game? Probably not. Shooting guards, Manu at 3,800. A pretty nice spot for him. He's actually dropped 27 in the last game. But it's really just a punt tournament option. Danny Green is always a tournament option. And Normie Powell at 3,900, he's averaging 25 across the last three games. His lowest score in his last five has been 21. I think you definitely have to consider Norm. Now, the problem is that Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard will be up in his face, and that's a whole new ball game. So in cash, it makes it harder to use him. But at that salary, he has been pretty consistent lately. DeMar DeRozan at 8,000. Again, the Kawhi Leonard factor is an issue. But 8,000, if you've saved money in other areas, you could run DeRozan out there. And he should be good for 35 at least. But he's got obviously 45, 50 point upside. Small forwards, Kawhi at 8,500. I'm not really convinced that Powell can handle him. They might put James Johnson on him, which is a concern for Powell's minutes. Terrence Ross obviously can't handle him. He's at 8,500. The game should be relatively close, so he should get his 30, 34 minutes. And 40 points feels like what he should be able to get. Kyle Anderson, James Johnson, we're obviously not worried too much about them. The power forwards, LaMarcus Aldridge at 8,300. The Raptors are pretty good defensively against power forwards. But again, this is a day where there's not much high price, good value out there. I think Aldridge is a 40-point game waiting to happen. He's not fantastic at it, but if you've saved up enough money and you need someone to use, then he comes into play. David West, Louis Scola, Pat. Pat I might look at 4,000, but I probably wouldn't end up settling on him. At center, Jonas Valanciunas is at 6,000. He's averaging 36 across his last five, so it's making him appealing. The matchup is making him not appealing, so probably won't be going with him. Timmy Duncan at 51. It's always a risk with Duncan, but he's averaging 27 across the last three. At 5,100, you could consider him in a tournament, but in the end, I'd probably think that I would steer in a different direction. If that game was terrible for fantasy, the next one should be an absolute goldmine. The Sacramento Kings and the Denver Nuggets. Yes, there's no Boogie Cousins. There's likely no Omri Caspi, but there's going to be stuff happening. At point guard, let's look. Rajon Rondo at 7,700. This is an opportunity to use Rondo against a Nuggets team that it's not great defending point guards. He can go for 40 points here, Rondo. He's in play. Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,600. He's so up and down that he remains a tournament option. Same with DJ Augustine at 4,800, who's been a little bit down or a lot down recently. But this matchup should ignite these guys. But predicting what Malone's going to do makes it a tough situation and really hard to use for cash. 5,800 for Darren Collison. He's averaging 30 across his last three with Ballinelli likely out for the rest of the season as well. Collison's going to continue to get 30 minutes and he should continue to get close to 30 points. So I think that he's definitely another guy you want to look at. So you could consider Augustine, Mudiay, Rondo and Collison all options. Shooting guards. Will Barton is at 5,400. Which Will Barton are you going to get? Good Will Barton, bad Will Barton? Who knows? 5,400. Great matchup. Absolutely using him. Absolutely. He could blow up completely, but you're playing the Kings. Lots can happen. Seth Curry at 3,700. I like him. He had a big game today, and playing the Nuggets is almost like playing the Kings. Seth is in play. Gaz Harris, 49. He's not getting it done. Ben McLemore and James Anderson, unlikely. Small forwards. Rudy Gay at 6,000. Had a huge one today. Hadn't really been doing that previously, but 6,000 for Rudy Gay in a matchup that's nice against the Nuggets with no Cousins. Sign me up for Rudy Gay in a tournament. Absolutely. Jakar Sampson, Axel Tupan, Omri Caspi, unlikely to play. Yeah, not much else really there in that position. The next one is the power forwards. Ken Faried at 5,700. I just don't trust that he's going to get enough minutes to actually be viable there. Darrell Arthur at 4,100. He's a great punt option. He dropped 37 in the last game. He's averaging 25 across the last three. He can also do nothing, but that makes him a nice tournament play. Corley Stein at 4,900. That salary just feels way too high, especially with him now dealing with a shoulder problem. Not keen. At center, though, massively keen on Kostas Koufos. He's at 3,900. He should be a guy that can approach 25 to 30 points pretty comfortably, and even could be more than that if Corley Stein is out as well. Yusuf Nurkic, we don't know if he's playing, dealing with an illness. It's hard to use him. But at 4,500, I think you'd have to consider it. I would rather use him than Jokic, who you've got to pay an extra $1,400 for. And Joffrey Lavernier, he requires someone, you know, probably a couple of guys to get injured before he really comes into play. The next game is the Miami Heat and the Portland Trailblazers. At point guard, Goran Dragic is at 6,800. He's been decent, but that still feels too expensive. Well, Dame Lillard at 8,000. I wouldn't want anything to do with Lillard at 8,000 in this matchup. It's just too expensive. He hasn't been producing at that level, averaging just 31 across the last five. He could go off, but he just hasn't really been doing it at all lately. Shooting guard, CJ McCollum is someone I'm way more interested in than Lillard. He is at 7,000. He's at 7,000. He's averaging 35 across the last five. He is in play. It's not a good matchup, but with Dwayne Wade out and him facing off against Gerald Green, absolutely fine. Gerald Green, on the other hand, 3,500, I think you've got to use him. We don't know if he's going to start at this point, but we would assume that he would, so he is in play. And Joshy Richardson at 4,900, I would much rather spend the 1,400 less and take Green. Richardson's salary has jumped too high for me. Gerald Henderson had a nice 29-point game in the last one, but that's not going to make me want to use him at 3,800. It feels a little fluky. These small forwards, Joe Johnson at 49, big game from him today. Not really sure that he backs it up two in a row, but I like Mo Harkless at 4,100. He's averaging 25 across his last three. It's not a great matchup for him, but 4,100 is not expensive. He should be able to clear 20 points. Justice Winslow at 4,000. He's not getting it done at that salary. Well, El-Farouq Aminu is at 5,400. Aram Palamudian just tweets at me, "I'm pretty sure Rondo is out tomorrow." Where have you seen that, Aram? I have not seen that about Rondo for tomorrow yet. I'll have to have a look at that. I have not seen that. So apologies if Rondo's out, then Collison, it's all over for Collison. But Aram, can you please let me know where you've seen that? I have not seen that information on Rondo just yet. Aminu at 5,400, a huge game recently, but he's averaging 31 across his last five. So he's been good, but this is a tough matchup. It makes me a little bit weary about using him. At power forward, Ed Davis at 46. I feel like he's an okay cash guy if you're looking for a cheap player to get you 25 points. The upside's not necessarily there. Luol Deng at 6,300 has been playing really well lately, or the last couple of games anyway, but it just feels a little bit too expensive. Vonleh, McRoberts, Stoudemire, no thanks. Centers, Hassan Whiteside is at 8,700. I think that he's in a really good spot here, and he'd be looking to bounce back after a subpar game against the Kings. I think that Whiteside is definitely in play. 5,100 for Mason Plumlee. It all depends on minutes, and I'd have no trust in him getting enough minutes at this point, unfortunately. DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Aaron Brooks, 3,500. Reg Jackson, 59. And I don't really like any of the expensive point guards. Shooting guard, Gerald Green, 35. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 56. And Jim Butler, 78. Small forwards, Mo Harkless, 41. Nikola Mirotic, 53. And Kawhi Leonard, 85. Power forwards, Carl Landry, 48. Toby Harris, 63. And LaMarcus Aldridge, 83. And the centers, Costa Kufos, 39. Jan Mahinmi, 52. And Pau Gasol, 8,300. Now, what I'm going to see here, I just want to go and look up that if I can find any information about what Aram just said about Rajon Rondo. So let's have a look. Oh, here's some news. Jordan Gartrell has just tweeted that at me about Rondo. Rondo has been ruled out. Oh, it must have happened while I was recording. So he is not going to play. So obviously, Rondo is out of consideration. So thank you for tweeting that to me, Jordan, because that must have come through as I was preparing and recording the show. Did not see that. So thank you very much for tweeting that at me, everyone who is watching live. It's coming through thick and fast now. So thank you, everyone. I did not see that as I was preparing the show. So thanks, guys, for letting me know that I will fix that up on the website as well. We are done today, guys. Thank you for listening. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Don't forget lootcrate.com/redrock is the website you go to check out our new sponsor. Follow Basketball Monster on Twitter, which is at Bask Monster, for all the up-to-date news as it happens throughout the day. We are done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Ooh, I would if it would work. Let's try again. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.